turn with me this morning to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8. If you have been with us for any time at all, you realize now that we have had a wonderful, incredible time with Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. We did an in-depth study. Matter of fact, we spent 30 Sundays on chapters 5, 6, and 7. And what a wonderful time it has been. But this morning we begin a brand new section, Matthew 8 and chapter 9. They flow together, and it has to do with the miracles of our Lord. Jesus had left the area of the Galilee in Matthew 4, verses 23 and following. And if you read that later on, you'll realize that every known disease that was happening at that time among the people in all of the land of the Galilee, Jesus healed. Jesus touched everyone that was ill in their bodies, cast out demons, and there was a great revival taking place. And they all gathered there on the mount. And Jesus opened his mouth and taught them, saying, as it says in chapter 5, and he went through the blesseds, or the beatitudes as we call them, and then through the Sermon on the Mount. And now as Jesus is coming down from the mount and the multitudes are following, we're going to find out this morning that there are 10 incredible miracles that take place among the multitudes or the thousands of miracles that take place. There are only 10 that are listed. Now, actually, there are only 9. But there are 10, meaning that the 10th one would be that he healed all manner of disease and all manner of sickness among many, many people. But Matthew gives us 9 distinct miracles that take place between Matthew 8 and 9. And they're in groups of 3. Now, as we look at our text this morning, I want to skip over verse 8 just for a moment, if you don't mind. I'm sorry, I'm not skipping over Matthew chapter 8, but I want to move down to verse 5. And when it says, and when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, to the centurion, I will come and heal him. Now listen, this morning if I could put a title upon what I want to share with you, I would entitle this message, The Ultimate Outcast. Because the first 3 miracles that Jesus performed after he came down from the mount, verifying who he was the Son of God, he was the Messiah that was to come into the world. The first 3 have to do with outcasts. Now the Romans, which this Roman centurion, a centurion is a Roman soldier who's over a group of people, over a group of soldiers, 100 of them. Listen, they were men of war. They were mean people. They knew how to kill. And they were outside of the covenant of Israel. And they were also hated by the children of Israel, because you remember in the teaching in the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus said, if someone compels you to carry their bag 1 mile, Jesus said, go the extra mile, go 2 miles. Well, the ones that asking you to do the carrying were the Roman soldiers. And they would interrupt you. You could be at your workplace or there in the merchants or working, whatever. And they would come and say, here, carry this for me. And by law, since Rome was over Israel, you had to carry that for 5/8 of a mile. But Jesus said, listen, don't just carry it for that distance. Go twice the distance. So the centurion was hated. He was outside the covenant of Israel. He wasn't a child of God. And yet he came and Jesus said, yes, I'll come and heal him. So, and it, matter of fact, it had to do with his slave. And a slave had absolutely no rights in the Roman Empire. And then it goes through and Jesus talks about the great faith that happened. But look down at verse 14. It says, and when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her. And she arose and served them. So Jesus now heals a woman. Now, during the time of Christ, women had absolutely no rights. And so, in a sense, Jesus' first 3 miracles have to do with outcasts in the land of Israel. But the one that I want to share with you this morning, the one that touched my heart more than any, is in verses 1 through 4, and that's where we're going to camp this morning. Let me read the entire 4 verses to you, and then I'll come back, and as my normal procedure is to comment on them. And let's look at chapter 8, verse 1. It says, when Jesus had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded in a testimony to them. Jesus coming down from the mount, He had finished the greatest words ever spoken on Christian conduct, that being the Sermon on the Mount. And He comes down, and the first person that meets Him is the most ultimate outcast in all of the land of Israel, or actually in all of ancient times. And Jesus, or the scripture there, Matthew uses the word, "Behold, a leper came." That word, "Behold," means this: a sight seldom seen. It was a wonder. It's like, you've got to be kidding. Here comes a leper, the most diseased, contagious person in all of our society. He's approaching God. Listen, leprosy was a horrendous disease in ancient times. Matter of fact, even today, there is no known cure for leprosy. And what happens is a spot will appear, and perhaps it's reddish or whatnot, and the hair on your hand or your arm, it'll start turning white. And decay sets in, and the next thing you know, tumors erupt on your body and your flesh starts rotting. And then you're susceptible, as the disease progresses in your body, you're susceptible to every known disease and illness there is, because your immune system is being destroyed. I think it's very important this morning, if you will allow me, to paint a picture of this leper for you. Because it's so easy, whenever we read the Bible, for us to just read right through verse 1 and not really in verse 2 and not really hone in on the fact of what a leper truly is. Let me read just an excerpt from a book that I read not too long ago called Unclean, Unclean, speaking of the horrors of leprosy. It says this: "The disease which we today call leprosy generally begins with pain in certain areas of the body. Numbness soon follows. The skin loses its original color. It gets to be thick and glossy and scaly. As the sickness progresses, the thickened spots become dirty sores and ulcers due to poor blood supply. The skin, especially around the eyes and the ears, begins to bunch up, with deep furrows between the swelling, so that the face of the afflicted individual begins to resemble that of a lion, an animal. Fingers start dropping off, or they're absorbed. Toes are affected similarly. Eyebrows and eyelashes drop out. By this time, one can see the person in this pitiable condition is a leper. By a touch of the finger, one can also feel it. One can even smell him, for the leper emits a very unpleasant odor. And moreover, in view of the fact that the disease-producing agent frequently attacks the larynx, the leper's voice acquires a grating quality. His throat becomes hoarse, acquires a raspy quality. And now you can not only see the leper, feel the leper, but you can smell the leper, and you can hear his rasping voice. And if you stay with him for a length of time, a peculiar taste comes into your mouth due to the odor of the leper." Aren't you glad you're here this morning? You know, when you look at this in Scripture, you do not see that man in that condition. You just read like I do so many times, which is really wrong. We look at the Word of God, and it becomes mechanical in our reading, and we say, "Okay, Lord, I've read 5 chapters this morning. Bless me and put a star on my report card." You know what I'm talking about. Jesus said that man should live by every word of God. And when we think of leprosy, we just read over it. We don't really have a depth of understanding. That's why it's so important to say, well, what is a leper? What is he like? And that's why I read what I read to you this morning. Listen, in Philip Yancey's book that I read not too long ago, it says, "God, where are you?" He said this. He said that most diseases are feared because of their pain, but leprosy is painless. In other words, the warning system of pain is gone from the person. And what happens is that a numbness starts attacking the body. And Philip Yancey, in his book, he actually witnessed people in India when he was over there teaching and preaching. He witnessed lepers who accidentally dropped their potato that they were eating into a campfire. And as it sat there and they noticed that had happened, he watched them reach into the campfire with their hands into the midst of the fire and grab the potato and pull it out, and yet he never felt any pain. There are times when lepers over in India, when this horrible, horrifying disease attacks their body, they step on the shredded glass that's in the streets and rip the soles of their feet completely to the bone. Yet they don't flinch from the pain. They don't even know that they're bleeding. They have no idea. And the reason is this disease is so horrible, and it just numbs the entire body, the system where our pain, the warning system, is so gone that they don't know what's happening. They can cut their fingers and they don't even know. And their body starts rotting away, and either their fingers start falling off or they're literally absorbed, meaning they're just absorbed back where there's nothing but nubs. And what's so horrible and what is so terrifying about that little spot that begins as leprosy, the ultimate outcast, is this, is once it progresses, as the man that was prostrating himself before our Lord and Savior Jesus in our teaching this morning, what is so horrible about it is that the lepers were afraid to sleep at night. And the reason that they were terrified to sleep at night is because they knew that the rats came out at night. And as they fell asleep, they did not know that the rats were literally consuming parts of their body because they couldn't feel the pain. You say, "Dear God, Bill, I could have skipped this service." I share all of that with you, painting that portrait for you this morning to ask you a question. I want you to see who this man is. And you know what? It doesn't bother me when I read in Scripture and I don't have any information, but I always want to say, "Lord, you know, who is this nameless man?" Do you ever just want to go and say, "Lord, he doesn't even have a name"? I mean, I know the condition. There he is. He's there. His face is like a lion. The nubs of his hand, the fingers are gone. And yet, he's right there. He's nameless. There's no description. I don't know anything about him. I don't know his wife's name. I don't know his children's name. I don't know anything about him. But my question is this, if we could paint this picture this morning. When did it begin? You see, leprosy starts as a small spot, sore on your body. Turns a reddish color, and then the hair on your arm starts turning white. Makes a white, scaly spot. When did it begin on this fellow? How did it begin? I mean, did he have a fig orchard or something there in Israel, or an olive orchard, or what was he picking? And he reached up and he said, "What is that on my hand? What is that right there?" Or maybe his wife was giving him water, or one of the children was handing, or he was playing with the kids, and they said, "Daddy, what is that on your hand?" And he looked, and the moment that he looked at that little scaly white patch on his hand, terror ripped into his heart. And the reason it ripped into his heart was this, is because he knew he had to do something. As a Jew, he knew that he was commanded by Leviticus chapter 13 and chapter 14. He had to do something. He had to leave his house. He had to go to the synagogue. He had to show his hand or wherever the patch was to the high priest. And when he came, the high priest would look at him and make a pronouncement that he was clean or unclean. Matter of fact, Leviticus 13:45 on the law of the leper says this, "Now the leper on whom the sore is," listen to what happens, "his clothes shall be torn, his head shall be bare, he shall cover his mustache and cry, 'Unclean, unclean,' and all the days that he has the sore," the leprosy, "he shall be unclean, and he shall dwell alone, and his dwelling place shall be outside the camp," outside of the assembly of the Jewish people. Now listen to me. Imagine he goes to the priest, this person who is lying in front of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ right now in this teaching. He has gone to the priest, and he hears the words that he dreaded, that he didn't want to hear, and the priest looks him in the eye, and the priest had to be trembling. The priest didn't want to do it, but he had to obey the word of God, and he says, "You're unclean. You're unfit for society. You cannot go home to your wife. You cannot go home to your children. You cannot come into the assembly ever again. You are the ultimate outcast. You have to stay away from us." Think of how that man felt. Maybe he asked this question. He said, "Wait, can I just go home and talk to my children? Can I just go home and tell my wife?" No, you cannot go within the assembly at all. What did he do? I mean, I think about this guy and I go, did he go up on a hilltop? Maybe his house was down in the valley. And he says, honey, it's me. Honey, I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking about this. And I go, it's horrible. And maybe he screams something. He says, listen, we have just enough money and food for 3 months. And when it runs out, he says, I'm unclean. They found a spot and I'm a leper. Go to my brothers or go to your mothers or tell the children I love them and I love you and, oh, I'll never see you again. And he lives a life that is so horrible that people, wherever he goes, that the wind is blowing, you know what? He has to yell out 150 paces that the wind is, he says, unclean, unclean, stay away from me. His clothes are all torn up, his head is all shaved, and his mustache he's covered, and he's yelling out, I'm a leper. All the days of his life, he has to do that year after year, forever and ever, until this fellow is cleansed. It says in verse 1 of Matthew 8, when he, meaning Jesus, had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshiped him. A leper came and worshiped him. Prostrated, that word worship means he prostrated himself in front of him. Nameless, no background, no description. And here's my question to you is this. The multitudes, there were thousands of people around the Lord Jesus Christ as he came down from the Sermon on the Mount. And all of those people were following him. And obviously this leper must have been hiding behind a tree or a rock. He was at least where he could hear what Jesus was saying. But he comes down, and my question is this. Out of all the thousands of people, why did this leper just come before the Lord? I mean, a leper. He didn't even say, unclean, unclean. He just came right there. And you know what really amazes me? Is what the leper called Christ. He called the Lord. He said, he called him what? Lord. He didn't say, why, Lord? He didn't say, why me, Lord? He didn't look into the Savior's face and he said, Jesus, look at me. Look at I have no eyebrows. I have no eyelashes. Look at the furrows. I'm not even a human being. My face looks like a lion. Look at the deep furrows. I have tumors and rotting flesh all over my body. Look at my toes. They're gone because of the rats over the last several months. I can't stay awake long enough. I can't keep the fire hot enough. I can't scare the animals away. I am a walking dead man. Why did you do this to me? Well, you know, in a way, he could have said that. Why do I say that? Well, what did Jesus come to do, it says on the Sermon on the Mount? He came to what? The law and the prophets, to make people understand that. The reason that that leper was out of the camp was because of the law. The reason the leper couldn't see his family or his children ever again was because of the law in Leviticus chapter 13 and 14. I mean, why didn't the leper come and say, Lord, why me? That's what's happening in this generation. That's what's happening today, not then, but today. Lord, what's going on? Why is all this happening to me? But after all of this man's suffering, I marvel. He did not blame God for one thing. He looked and fell upon his face and he called him Lord. He wasn't angry for the little boys that threw rocks at him and the people who shunned him and tossed rotten food out for him to eat. He wasn't upset about any of that. Look what he said. He said, Lord, if you are willing. Isn't that amazing? If you are willing, Lord. Today there's such a difference from the Gospels. Here is a man so diseased, so dying, and he comes to the Lord and he does not make a demand for healing at all. He just says, Lord, I'm coming and I'm worshiping you. And it shows me something. Here's what it shows me. This leper was sure of Jesus' power to heal him. He just wasn't sure if Jesus was willing to heal him. That's exactly the way we are, isn't it? Listen to me. You know why this leper wasn't sure? Obviously, he was a Jew. He says, Lord. Obviously, he knew the law because he was an outcast. Here's the problem. That leper knew something. He knew, if you study your Bible, you'll know too, that there are only two places in the entire Bible, in the Old Testament, up to this point in Matthew chapter 8, where anyone was ever healed of leprosy. The first one was Miriam, Moses' sister. Remember, she was cutting down Moses and did not want to fall under his authority. And so the Lord smite her, whichever is correct there. I don't even use the word anymore, but it's in the King James. And remember, she turned white with leprosy. Then Moses prayed for, oh, Lord, heal my sister, and God healed her. She was a Jew. The next one that was healed in Scripture comes from 2 Kings chapter 5. His name was Naaman. He was a great general, but he was a leper. And God healed him. So this poor leper is coming saying, well, I know what you did to Miriam, and I know that you healed someone outside of the covenant by Elisha. Elisha healed him, remember, through the power of God. He says, Lord, I don't know whether you want to heal me. I know that you can heal me. I know that you can do all things. I know that there is absolutely nothing too hard for you. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that there's nothing too hard for God concerning you? No matter what you may be experiencing? Or do you come to God and say, okay, Lord, I'm not coming with a worshipful heart like he did, but I'm coming, I'm a covenant child, I'm a Christian, I'm a co-heir with Christ, I'm more than a conqueror, I want my healing. You have to heal me. I hear people say that all the time. Let me tell you something. God doesn't have to do anything. You know what I'm saying? He's God. He's sovereign. We're not sovereign. I don't know if you know that. You and I are not God, and we're not going to be gods. Remember Shirley MacLaine? She went out there on the beach. She's into all this New Age stuff. No offense against Shirley. God loves her. She went out there and started screaming, I am a God. I am a God. I am a God. Jesus turns to the Lord and says, did you hear something? Oh, it's just Shirley down there again. God is sovereign, and he is in love with you. He's in love with this ultimate outcast as well. He's in love with anyone. He loves us all. And you know what? God says he's willing to touch you. He's in love with you. Listen, he wants to help you in the area of your need. And this leper comes to him. He's not demanding, and I love it. And he just says, Lord, here I am. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. I don't know what's wrong with me. So many today people come to the Lord and say, Lord, this is the job I want. This is it. This is the one I want. And the Lord might be going, okay, well, that's just going to pay you $60,000 a year, but the one I had for you 2 weeks from now, it's going to pay you $75,000. But, hey, I'll give you the cheap one, okay? See, we think we know what we want and know what we need. Can I tell you something? What I found out after all of these years living upon this planet, all 32 years. Banished. Listen, I found out this, that I don't know what I need. I used to think I knew. I know what I want in this life. I don't know. I just want Jesus. I just want what Jesus wants for me, because whatever he has for me is going to be perfect. It's going to be full of good things. Oh, God loves us. Man, I don't know what I need tomorrow. You know, I can't make one hair white or one hair black. Well, I can if I use some Clairol, but you know what I'm trying to say. I mean, I can't do that. I don't know tomorrow. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He knows everything. He knows everything you need. And you know what? He knows the exact minute you need it, and he knows the exact minute to give it to you. And he will not give it to you a minute too soon. Why? Because he's God, and he loves you. And my Bible says all that he does is perfect. That's good. We need to be like this leper. We need to say, Lord, I'm here worshiping you in my quiet time. Here I am, Lord. I know that you can do anything, and I'm just waiting on you to do to me whatever you want. I know that you will, because you love me. That's the God that loves you. That's the God that you serve. And it says, then Jesus. In Mark 1:41, it says, then Jesus moved with compassion. So then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I'm willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Now listen to me. I want you to see something, and please don't, I do not want you to think me being critical when I make this comment. But I have a problem today with some of the way that people are being labeled as healers and all of that. May I tell you that Jesus Christ is the healer. And he can heal any of us of any malady, any disease, any situation, no matter what it is, God can do that. He's still the same today, yesterday, and forever. But I want you to notice something about verse 3 that Jesus didn't do. right before he was getting ready to heal the leper. Did you notice it says, and then Jesus put out his hand and summoned the 400-member choir to the stage. He didn't do that. Now, there's nothing wrong with summoning a 400-member choir to the stage. I like a choir. You understand? I like the stringed instruments. I like it all. But Jesus didn't do that. He didn't say, let's put a little bit of lights, dim the lights down, put on a white suit with a rose. Just a moment. You don't know who I'm talking about. You better get that thought out of your mind. I'm making up a fictitious person, and there you were condemning. I'm not. And all of a sudden, the people start swaying, the multitudes, the thousands, and the leper is laying there. And Jesus said, put it on camera right now. He doesn't do that. We do that. You'll find in a moment, Jesus said, I don't want you to tell anybody what just happened to you. Don't tell a soul. Not today. See, when real miracles happen, you don't have to broadcast them. And let me tell you something else. When real miracles occur in the church, everybody knows it, and then they're flooding in. You don't have to say it's going to be a miracle service tonight. Am I being critical? I'm being honest. I'm not condemning. I'm not talking about other ministries. I'm just telling you the way it is today because the church is so blinded to so much that's happening. I'm talking about a lion face here, a person's face that's of an animal with fingers gone and toes gone, who's rotten and stinking, and the stench is so bad that maybe even our Lord was covering his breath. Maybe all the people, when they saw the stench coming off of his body, they backed up, they put their children behind them and said, oh my God, it's a leper. This was real. This really happened. There was no showboat. This occurred, and God, our Lord and our Savior, said this to him. He said, I am willing. He put out his hand and he touched him for the first time. Listen, all the years everybody had been repelled by him, the leper. And for the first time, someone stepped toward him. From the time he heard the priest say, you can't go back home. You're an outcast. You are the ultimate outcast. You are a leper. You can't go back to your family. You can't go to church, meaning synagogue. You can't hang around us ever again. You're going to be crying out unclean until this disappears, and I don't know when it's going to happen. You may die. For the first time in all of that time, someone touched him. Someone stepped toward him. And it says that immediately his leprosy was cleansed. What does that mean? I like the word immediately because that means it was not progressive, a progressive healing. It means that he was healed instantly. Everything is, in other words, the lion face. As he was there, I don't know how it happened. He was lying there before the Lord, worshiping God, and maybe he opened his eyes. And when Jesus said, you know, I am willing, be clean, immediately, he looked at his hands and he said, I have fingers again. I have fingernails. I have my skin. The stench, it's gone. And he touched his face, and there was no furrows, and there was eyebrows and eyelashes, and there were no scar tissue and no white hair. He was whole. That really happened. Jesus touched the most unclean person on earth, which was forbidden for him to do. Why? He is the priest. He is our high priest. And he touched this man. All of his missing toes and everything else grew. They were right there. He was fresh again. And then Jesus said, see that you tell no one. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, church. Come on. Would you say, okay, Lord? I would look at him like, hello? You mean tell no? Do you not? Listen, I live about 20-some-odd miles from here. Like I told the first service, I said, listen, I would be running down 820. Hallelujah! You know, I mean, tambourine. I would have it all. I mean, I'd be banging my knees together with the oh, yeah. And I would be running to my wife and I'd say, oh, honey, baby, hello, I'm whole. You know what I mean? And I would grab the kids. And I mean, I'm whole. I'm safe. Listen, didn't you feel that way when Jesus touched your life? Didn't you feel that way when God touched you? When he changed your life? When he came into your heart? Well, no, Bill, I've never felt that. Well, oh, what's wrong with you? You don't know what you're missing. Jesus loves you so much. He wants you to become a new creation in Christ. He wants to change your life. He wants to change your destiny. No one else on this planet can change your destiny but God. Think about it. Only God, he can change your pathway. He has a divine road that he wants each of you to be on. A a divine road, a road already planned out just for you. And if you're not in Christ, you're not on the narrow road. You're on the broad road that leads to destruction. And many are on that road, Jesus says. Oh, how God loves us. How willing He is to change us. Yet, so many times we come to God and bargain with God. Not in a state of worship. We bargain with God. Oh, God, if You'll do this, I'll do this. We go in and we, in our prayer time, instead of a worship time and loving the Lord and just walking and say, oh, Lord, I love You. You already know what I need. Let me just worship You. We go in and say, okay, Lord, this is what I want. We're a fast food generation. We go to the window and say, this is what I want. And then after the prayer and 5 minutes later, you want to go down to the other window and say, give it to me. Prayer doesn't work like that. God doesn't work like that. The world works like that. And then guess what it does? It gives you all those heart disease from all those Big Macs. God won't do that to you. Listen. God knows what we need. He changed this man. He said, don't tell a soul, but go your way. And what? Show yourself to the priest. Why? Why the priest? He says, I want you to go back to the old boy who said, unclean. I want you to go back to the one who obeyed my law, who made you a castaway, who cast you out of society. I want you to go to him and say, I'm clean. Look at me. I'm whole. Why? Well, look what it says. It says here, and offer, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift. Now, it'd be a couple of pigeons probably, or doves, a couple of doves, that Moses commanded. That's Leviticus 13, now in 14. That Moses commanded, why? As a witness or a testimony, and then it says to them. To who? To the priest, to the synagogue, to the people who knew the Word of God, to the people who taught the Word of God. He said, you go back to them for a witness. Why? Because Jesus wanted the church, the synagogue, to know this, that the Messiah had come, that no one could heal a leper but God. And they knew that. The Jewish people knew that only God could heal a leper. And you know what? Jesus was God incarnate. Amen? And He's there and He's saying, you go tell them who I am. Now listen, I want to ask you a question this morning. What healed the leprosy? No, someone said faith. Well, that's good. He had faith, but he just said, if you're willing. You see what I mean? He said, Lord, whatever you want to do, I'm here. If I wake up a leper, if I die in front of you as a leper, it doesn't matter. You're my Lord, and here I am, and I'm before you. I'm unclean. Listen, what if the leper couldn't go on anymore? Wonder if he just, and I'm not trying to add to Scripture, but see, I get this movie in my head when I read the Bible. I'm going, what if he was just over there going, I can't, this is it. I know I don't have any strength. My immune system is so shattered. I know that I am near death. What if he just says, I have just enough strength to go and just, not even enough breath to say unclean, but just enough strength to fall in front of Jesus and say, I'm just going to worship you. That's all I can do. And I'm not going to be able to ever get up from this spot again. Maybe that's exactly what happened. But what healed him? Well, the thing that healed him was the words of Jesus. What did Jesus say? He said, be clean. That was it. That's all God had to say. That's all he said, be clean. Do you understand how incredible that is? Could you see the leper? Do you see this? Do you smell the stench? Do you see his face? And two words from the mouth of our Lord, be clean. And it was instantly done. Now that's what healed him, but that is not what helped him. You see, it says something else happened there. It says that Jesus did something else. It says he touched him. Why did Jesus touch him? Because Jesus knows the area of our greatest need. He knows the area of your greatest need this morning. You see, the exterior, yes, needed to be healed. But think of the pain of his heart, the separation from his family, from his children. Think of all of the abuse that he had taken. What did Jesus do? He touched him. Why? Because there is nothing greater than human touch. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. There's something about being able, I mean, like I was talking about, when I was in college, I studied about a king over in England he was doing an experiment. And what he did, he said, I want all of these children here in the castle. He said, the only thing you can do to them is feed them and change them. You cannot hold them. You cannot speak to them. You cannot do anything to them. And one by one, even though they were being fed, even though they were kept warm, they died one after another. Why? Because man can't live without human touch. You need to have human touch. That's why when people that are in solitary confinement, they go crazy. That's why when our dear precious sister who's been gone to the Lord, Corrie Ten Boom, thank you, Corrie Ten Boom. Remember what she did when she was in isolation and they would feed her just that crust of bread every day? Remember what she did for all of those months after months after months? What did she do? She saw some ants there in her solitary confinement, and she would, instead of eating all of the bread for herself, she would save some crumbs and just feed the ants. Why? Because she needed some type of contact. And they became her friends. Listen, when Jesus touched the leper, He touched the greatest area of his need. He touched his heart. He touched the area where all of his pain was. And you know something? That's what Jesus wants to do to you. And you know, the only thing that stops him is your willingness to let him. In the church today, there are so many wounded people, more so than ever in any of the generations. And God doesn't want to coddle you. He wants to say, let me touch you. Let me make you well. And you know what? Sometimes that may take correction, and we don't like correction. You understand? Sometimes that may mean a rebuke. Oh, don't rebuke me. I'll go to another church. Well, okay, go. My gosh, I want to see you get well. The only person that can ever touch you, it's not going to be another pastor. It's not going to be because,
well, they teach the children better there.
No. The only thing that's going to help you is to let Jesus come into your heart and knock down all of the bricks one by one that you have built up, and all of the fears that are there from the pain from the past, the pain from the present, whether it be a divorce or your children or the job or your boss or your mama, your daddy, whatever. And say, Lord, here I am before you, and I need you to touch me because I know you have the power. I just don't know that you're willing. And Jesus wants you to know something this morning. He's willing to touch you in the greatest area of your need, whatever it might be, because nothing is too hard for God. Absolutely nothing. And that's what God wants to do. Jesus touched the untouchables of this world. You know what He wants us to do? He wants us to touch the untouchables as well. He wants to use us to go into all of the world and help people. This city, reach out. Leprosy in the Bible is an illustration of sin. Let me tell you what sin does. Number one, sin numbs you from head to toe, just like a leper. I'm talking about willful sin. We all sin, okay? Come on, folks. We all sin. We all run to the Lord. Lord, I've blown it. I didn't mean to get angry at that. I didn't know. Okay. But I'm talking about willful sin. Willful sin, just like leprosy, numbs you. In other words, it sears the conscience. Have you ever taken a hamburger and you put it on the grill or the skillet and you sear one side and you lock all the juices in, remember? And it's brown and you turn it over on that raw meat and you sear the other, but in the middle it's pink and all of that? Well, that's what happens. That's what sin does. See, sin starts out and it just starts numbing you, saying, well, I know I shouldn't do it, but it's just a small spot. It's just a little leprosy. I mean, it's going to go away. I'm not going to go to the priest with it. Ain't no way, because I know what he's going to do. So you pull your sleeve down over the leprosy, the sin, you say, okay, it's not. Tomorrow will be another day. You know how it is. God help me. But you don't confess it. And you keep that with you time and time and time again. And what happens is that the numbing effect starts numbing you. Sin also, like leprosy, isolates. Remember what the priest said, you'll live outside of the camp. You can't come into the assembly. And what, did you know what's amazing, Christian? Listen to me. When that priest said that to the leper, that locked him out away from God. Because there was, now listen, out of all the places on the earth, all over the world, there was only one spot at that time where God said He would put His glory, and that was in His temple. So he was completely shut out. So what does that mean? Well, sin not only numbs us, Sin not only isolates us, but sin does something else. Sin separates us from God. Now listen to me, Christian. I want you to listen to this so you don't say, well, Bill, no, I want you to make sure you get this. Sin doesn't stop your sonship, Christian. Doesn't do that. Sin breaks fellowship. Does that make sense? You're still a son and a daughter of God, but what happens is now you've stepped out of the light. You say, I'm not in the light, and you've stepped over into darkness willfully saying, I'm not going to repent of that. And so what happens is, like it says, if you walk in the light as He is in the light, it says we have fellowship one with another. Now that's speaking of God and you, not God, not you and the church. We have fellowship one with another. Now listen, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. That's exactly what sin does. It's just like leprosy. And if you continue in sin, guess what happens? Just like leprosy, it finally destroys you. The wages of sin is death. Let me ask you a question. Where are you with the Lord this morning? If our high priest had to examine us, like the high priest examined that person who came and said, is this leprosy? Where do you stand? If he examines your heart, if he examines your walk, not me, I'm not a bloodhound, I'm not a sin sniffer. Man, I'm trying to walk with the Lord, amen? Listen, before I preach a message, I have to look at my heart first, amen? I ask myself the same question, where am I? Lord, examine me, what's going on with me? I've got to go stand before your people. Where do you stand? If he said, let me see that. Do you hide your spots from him? Don't do that. He says, no, I'll not. Listen, he will never render you unclean. He will always render you clean when you go to Christ. Why? Because he died for you. He died that not only that you would have life and have it more abundantly, he died because he took your sins upon the cross. That's what it's all about. Listen to me. Jesus is willing to do two things, many things, but two in particular this morning. Jesus wants to touch you right where you're sitting, without a praise band, without anybody here, without any light show going on. He wants to touch you by His grace, through His love for you, in the area of your greatest need, and He is willing to do so. If you're just willing to say, whatever it is, Lord, just do it. Here's my heart. The other thing is, some of you this morning, you do not know Jesus Christ. Oh, you know about Him, but you do not have a relationship with Him, meaning you've never confessed with your mouth and truly believed in your heart that He is the Son of God, that He is the Lord. If you'll do that, my Bible says He will not only save you, He'll not only make you a new creation, He'll not only write your names in the Lamb Book of Life, He will fill you and flood you with the Holy Spirit. That's His desire. He's willing to do that right now. And here's the problem. We're like Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5 as I close now. Now listen to me. You ever notice I say listen to me a lot? I don't know why I've got picked it up from my wife. Wisdom, men. Did you see that? Wisdom. Our problem is this. Naaman was a great general, but Naaman was a leper. And he came to Israel, and Elisha the prophet was there, and he was expecting Elijah to wave his hands or do something to heal him of his leprosy. Elijah wouldn't even come out. He sent Gehazi, his servant, and said, go tell Naaman the leper to go down to the Jordan River, dip seven times, and God will heal him. He'll be made whole. Naaman gets furious. He becomes furious. He said, what? Do you not know who I am? Have you not read my books? Have you not seen my business card? He didn't do anything, but you know what I mean. Naaman's servant said, Master, if he had asked you to do some great thing, you would have done so. But will you go do this small thing? So Naaman heads down to the Jordan, and he has to dip seven times. And here's the problem. See, Naaman was respected. Even the king respected Naaman. But he kept himself covered because he was a leper. And in order for him to become clean, he had to remove what he had on him to expose what he truly was. Does that make sense? And he didn't want to do it. And that's what's our problem. We don't really want to say, Lord, here's what I really am. Do you still want me and love me? He says, I am willing. And that's where we are. So see, you have to come to Christ. You have to come to God this morning. How? And say, I'm just like Naaman. I have problems in my heart, or I don't know you. I'm pulling off all of the, I'm going to reveal, here's who I really am. I am an ugly leper and I need help. And Jesus said, oh, I am so willing to cleanse you. Be clean right now. And He will touch you in the area of your need if you desire that.